This is FUV Live Sessions, a podcast brought to you by WFUV in New York City. Each week, we talk to artists in our Bronx studio or at venues around the city, and we get to listen to them play a live set. You'll get to hear the songs and learn about the artist or band. Episodes drop every Monday wherever you listen to podcasts. Be sure to follow the show to stay up to date on all the latest episodes and to find your next favorite artist or band. And if you like what you hear, please make sure that you rate and review the show so that other music lovers can find it. This is FUV Live Sessions with Wolf Alice. I'm Megan Suma, and I'm here with host Kara Manning at WFUV. Kara, this episode's going to be a little different than what we usually do. This is another offsite interview and live music performance. So you actually went down to the Power Station, which is in New York City, and you caught a couple live performances from Wolf Alice, and you got to sit down with them for an interview. Talk to me about this whole day.
Well, they were at the very start of their North American tour. And like a lot of bands on tour, they had a little bit of illness. And that day, Ryan Malcolm, who is their touring keyboardist, came down with some kind of like lurgy kind of thing and couldn't come. And in addition, Joff Oddy is off of this tour because he's expecting, or I'm sure the baby has arrived by this time, but yes, at the time we were speaking, he was expecting his first child. Oh. So he was on sort of paternity leave. So John Victor of Gengar has been on tour as their guitarist for the North American tour that they did this summer. So my conversation was with Ellie Roussel and Joel Amy and Theo Ellis of the band. And my goodness, it was, I've spoken to Ellie three times now, and I've spoken to the entire band twice. And I can't say enough about just not only how gifted this quartet is, but how absolutely lovely they are. And it's been really kind of fascinating to watch them from the very beginning and see where they are, because all four of their albums have been acclaimed and have been nominated for the Mercury Prize. They are the only band, in fact, in history who have had every single one of their albums nominated for the Mercury Prize.
Wow.
Because of the fact that they were down Ryan, they couldn't do what they had originally hoped to do. So it was kind of fascinating to watch the four of them figure out what they could do without the keyboardist. Mm. And they landed upon two songs, both of which were beautiful. And I also sort of watched what perfectionists they are, because they gradually, with one of the songs that we'll hear later on, which is Leaning Against the Wall, Theo and Joel decided to take themselves completely out of the mix at the end. So at the end, you'll just hear Ellie and John. But originally, all four of them were in the mix of the song. But they are just so exacting about what they want and how they sound. And the conversation was the same. It was really interesting to see their enormous growth over four albums. And I'm really excited about this band and what they can do in the future. They deserve to be massive in the United States.
Yeah. And that's so cool that you kind of got to watch them pivot and improvise.
Yes.
That's like the beauty of live music.
Completely.
What are we going to hear first in this session?
We're going to start off with a beautiful version and a cleaned up version of The Sofa, which, if you listen to it on the album, is cussier than what you'll hear today. But Ellie kindly censored herself. So on FUV Live Sessions, this is Wolf Alice with The Sofa.
We can accept the wild thing in me. Hope nobody comes to tame her, and she can be free. Seek a second guess in my behavior. I'm what I want to be. Just let me lie here on the sofa and put the reruns on TV. I'll be fine, I'll be okay. I feel kinda lucky right now, and I'm not ashamed to say I can be happy, I can be sad, I can be a bitch when I am mad. I wanna settle down, oh, to fall in love. Sometimes I just want to California, where I thought I might clean the slate. Feels a little like I'm stuck in Seven Sisters, North London, oh England. Maybe that's okay. Maybe that's fine, I'll be okay. I feel kinda lucky right now, and I'm not ashamed to say I can be happy, I can be sad, I can be a bitch when I act mad. I wanna settle down, out of fun and love. And sometimes I just want to. I love my life, I love my life. Sometimes I just want to.
I'm Cara Manning with FUV Live Sessions. I'm here at Power Station with Wolf Alice. We just heard The Sofa, which is found on their stunning new album, their fourth, called The Clearing. And I have to say, you're doing two songs today, and it's been an interesting kind of process watching you kind of figure things out, because you were down a keyboard player today, Ryan Malcolm. And then in addition, Jah Fadi is expecting his first baby. So you have John Victor here from Gengar, who is on tour with you in the States right now.
Yeah, that's so right. Joel. When you said it out loud all in one go, I was like, oh God, yeah, we
know,
are doing
it. It's a lot, you know, trying to pull it all together. But this, and to think The Clearing has, at the time we're speaking in September, The Clearing is not even out a month yet. Mm. You were number one on UK album charts, and congratulations, you've been nominated for your fourth Mercury Prize for The Clearing. You are the only band in history of the Mercury Prize who have been nominated for every single one of their records, which is extraordinary. Ellie just made a face. What does that mean, Ellie?
I don't know, but it sounds good.
Well, you won for Visions of a Life in 2018, and I'm wondering, because you win a bit of money for that, and I kind of wonder how that Mercury Prize back in 2018 helped vault you forward as you went towards Blue Weekend and then now to The Clearing.
I think it's a really important institution, and I think, like you said, not only is there money involved, which is can be really, really beneficial to any band at the moment, especially now the climate of being an artist in any respect is difficult. So not only is the exposure you get off the back of it and the kind of lists you get put in, even when you're long listed, but to be obviously to win and also to have that a certain degree of investment will go a huge, I mean, it doesn't go as long as it used to, that kind of money. But, you know, for any artist, I think that's amazing that we still have that. And I think it's one of the best things that we have in the UK, because it always champions very left field music as well. So as a whole, I think the Mercury's always flown the flag for the right things.
And doesn't have to be, you don't have to be a major label band either, like English Teacher won last year.
Yeah.
You know, they came up from Leeds and, you know, and watching a band like Wolf Alice too, you're a London band. But, you know, finding that trajectory that you had early on and, you know, and where that Mercury Prize placed you on the map as well. Circling back to the sofa, beautiful acoustic version, kind of that song today. It is the song that actually ends the clearing. It's the 11th song. And I did want to circle back because I love where the journey of this album goes and why you land at the sofa as the final track. It wasn't the last song that was written for the album, Ellie, correct?
It was one of them, but no, not the last. Yeah. I think it was the last one that we recorded, though. Yeah.
Oh, so it was the last one that you recorded?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Mm. And it was in a rush as well. We were kind of almost not going to get around to it because there's stuff that didn't make it onto the record and we were still trying to figure it out. And when it did happen, it happened like the second from last day and then continued into the last day we worked on it. And I really vividly remember watching the orchestral section that happens at the end come together, and it literally felt like you're waving goodbye to the end of the album.
Yeah, it does. It feels like a farewell. And it also feels like a to be continued, because the thing that's really interesting about where the album begins with Thorns is as if you were addressing a song on Blue Weekend. And you're sort of continuing the story where you left off on Blue Weekend and going back and reassessing, thinking you were perhaps a narcissist, Ellie, in that song for one of the songs on Blue Weekend.
Yeah, or just like Blue Weekend in general was just processing what it is to be a writer and to be a performer and to put yourself out there. And in dark times, why do you do that? And in good times, like, because it's fun or whatever. So yeah, it felt like a good opener because it's kind of absorbing all that came before a little bit.
And it's how you're opening your live sets right now here in North America as well, right?
Apparently, yeah.
Yeah.
It is.
Oh, that's so cool. And you're doing a lot of the new songs on this North American tour, which is kind of great. I made a list, but I'm not going to read it. But the one thing that I love, too, is that today's session with, you know, you're all trying to keep fit, as you say. And it's kind of like been an Agatha Christie novel in a way that people keep disappearing.
Yeah.
You know, you're not Spinal Tap, you're a Wolf Alice. But the thing that I love the thing that I love about today's session is that I got the idea of what it must have been like in Seven Sisters when you were all sitting around Theo and Joel and Joff and Ellie, and you had all these guitars around you and you're trying to figure out what the clearing was going to be. Can you talk a little bit about that sort of initial Seven Sisters meeting that you had where you were sort of sussing out what this album was going to be? I'm looking at you, Joel.
Well, we have a process that's worked for us on the previous three albums before the clearing, which is we all kind of go away and we all make things kind of in our own time. And then there's like a moment where we get back together and it's like, right, I've got this, Steve's got this, Joff's got this, Ellie's got this. And we've pieced records together just by what excites us, kind of on a song-by-song basis. With Blue Weekend, there was a bit of an umbrella around the songs, but moving away from Blue Weekend, I think we were just excited by the idea of making something really cohesive. And also, you know, not necessarily doing exactly what we'd just done. It wasn't that long after we finished touring Blue Weekend. And I think for me personally, if we tried to do something that was just that again, it would have been quite mind-numbing. It was exciting to strip things back to acoustic guitars and really focus on what we can do as songwriters as well as players or programmers or whatever, you know. And that kind of became the mantra at the beginning, really. Like, does the song stand up if it's just, you know, Ellie and Joff playing it together? Like, does it need a drum kit? And if it doesn't need a drum kit, what can I sing over the top of it in the room? And that was the most exciting way forward that we saw, and we stuck to it.
And in terms of Ellie, you do a lot of voice notes, so ideas, lyrics, things like that, and then you bring it to the guys. How much had you kind of brought in initially to that early gathering before you even went out to talk to Greg Hurston, who was your producer?
Yeah, we'd all had shared a bunch of demos and then we kind of were collating the ones that maybe felt like they had a through line and of a similar vibe. And I think this time around, kind of speaking for myself, I only like didn't, you know, left the demos kind of half-baked a little bit because knowing that everyone was going to put in their own things and play to everyone's strengths and stuff. So rather than like trying to figure out what's the point of me trying to figure out a bass line or not bass, you know what I mean? So that was fun. And yeah, it's just a bunch of Yeah, half-baked demos, really.
So, Theo, where did Greg come into the mix? Was he somebody that you had all been talking about as somebody you had wanted to work with? Because he's worked with everybody from Foo Fighters to Adele to got everybody.
Yeah, he came into the... I mean, he was in the conversation even around Blue Weekend about who to work with. And I know that Joff particularly was championing Greg's skill set. I think he has an amazing ability to really realise what the band or artist he's working with wants to get out of their record. And he doesn't necessarily put himself in the way of that, which I think can happen a little bit when you work collaboratively. And I think particularly with this album, the spine of the demos seemed to come from the piano. More so than ever, there was hinting of it in Blue Weekend, but this time it really felt like that was the backbone of what was going on. Obviously, him being an unbelievable pianist first and foremost, that really is where he seems the most comfortable. That was kind of really appealing because we can work in this, in not just the sonics of how things are produced and how they're presented, but also structurally a little bit. So when we got on a Zoom with him, which is the boring answer to how we first met, and we started speaking with him, I think we really clicked and seemed really excited to go out there. And eventually we got out to his studio, and he has an incredible space and he's a really lovely person, which makes a big difference when you're working together for, you know, in that kind of environment. And yeah, it was just a joy to work with him. He's a great guy, Greg.
Mm. I love with Bloom Baby Bloom, which was the first single from the album, you kind of announced piano.
Yeah.
It opens with that powerful piano run. And did you play that, Ellie, or was that Greg? Who played that?
I think Bloom Weekend? Bloom Baby Bloom was me, yeah.
That was you. Yeah. Oh, it was amazing.
Thank you.
I love the fact, too, is that there are just... You opened up this glorious box of ideas, and on this album, there's so many things that come swimming in and go swimming out. Like there's like a little bit of like ELO and Bread Butter Sugar, or like even Nilsson. Like I kept hearing things, which I'm thinking, yeah, that's probably not what the band is
Did
hearing.
You say but Harry like, Nilsson? But, you say Harry Nilsson?
Harry
yeah,
Nilsson.
We watched
a documentary on him when we were making it. Me and Al.
Oh, you're
yeah.
kidding. Oh, wow.
Yeah, no, I love Harry Nilsson. Yeah, what a strange and wonderfully talented character.
Yeah.
So you're right. That was, well, whether it actually reached what we were doing in the studio, but that kind of sonic and things was appealing to us. Yeah,
like his sense of play.
Yeah.
It's like really nice to take your work really seriously, but like not necessarily yourself all the time, you know, and like have fun with stuff, but it still not sound like a joke.
Right.
All the time, yeah.
And this is a playful album, you know, you cover some like dark things, but then there's a sort of a joy that sort of uplifts everything. It's like there's a confidence. There's also this sort of embrace of like, yeah, we are in our 30s and this feels really interesting. Mm. And how are we going to swim through this decade and what we're discovering too. And there's an extraordinary song that like spoke to me, Ellie, and I think you're going to hear a lot of women saying the same thing to you and know exactly what song it is. It's Play It Out, which is the lyrics to that, I think, talk to, like, I don't have kids. Mm. Was that, like, did I intend not to have kids? I don't, that wasn't the intention, but that's the way it worked out. And I love the fact that this is the first song I can recall where somebody really talks about that. And I thank you.
Oh, thank you. Yeah. I was saying before, I was like noticing a lot of, when we praise women, a lot of the time it's for them being incredible mothers. It's not me saying I don't want to have children, I don't have children, but just to know that if I don't, then I'm still worthy of loads of praise for other things and whatever.
Loads of praise, loads of love. It doesn't diminish who you are.
Yeah.
It's not what defines you. And I was really struggling to think, is there another song I've ever heard that says it so directly and beautifully? And I couldn't think of anything. So thank you.
Oh, that's cool. I think there's a lot of like stuff about... I feel like also it's like comes up a lot more in conversation now. Maybe things have changed quite a lot. And so like it was just, it's like a conversation that I feel comes up a lot, not just because of the age I am, but like maybe because, yeah, just like how people, things are changing. And yeah, so it's, yeah. It's,
yeah. Yeah. And Joel, you have finally a lead vocal in a Wolf Alice song, which is glorious, and White Horses. And you and Ellie have for so long sounded so beautiful together. And I love this sort of almost dialogue that you have in this song. It's
very
beautiful.
This is duet to me. I think that's how I see that song. Very much a duet. I did do some singing on the first. There's a track on the first album we did. But yeah, that came from a demo, just a demo idea we had, maybe around the same time that The Sofa, actually. I think he sent The Sofa. There was like a period where like I think the clearing was kind of like showing itself to us what it could be and like what and the direction. And I remember going home and being like, right, I'm going to get my rubbish acoustic guitar out, but like try and think about it with a bit more. I like do a lot of production-y kind of motif kind of demos and stuff, and I was trying to blend the two, and then I showed it to the guys and it evolved even more, and it kind of kept that psychedelic-y kind of feel that the dance kind of demo had, but then fitted into the clearings kind of overall sonic kind of vision, you know.
It's the kind of song too, White Horses, where I don't own a car and I wish I did own a car so I could drive down a highway. Yeah.
Well, you know
and
what?
Just crank
I
it.
Also don't own a car. So when I agree.
It's just a glorious song.
Oh, and, that's cool.
And Theo, the bass is so muscular and beautiful on this album. And I'm wondering if there's a particular track that you found on it that just you were able to do something that you haven't been able to do in the past on a Wolf Alice song.
I think there's probably more than ever on this album things I have not done before, or almost across the board. I feel like it was quite interesting hearing the genesis of some of the songs coming from the piano. Sometimes there is a bass part with the left and right hand. Mm. I think it's really interesting the way that it can either create a bass line or you can have a bass line come off that, because you're not trapped in a box. Sometimes I default to certain things. So the fact that it started there is really exciting. I think Bread, Butter, Tea, Sugar does that. It kind of jumps around in an irrational way that you wouldn't default to. So it was inspired by the piano to that extent. But I'm really proud of Just Two Girls, because I just really, the whole song doesn't sound like Wolf Alice to me.
No.
That much. But it does. Do you know what I mean? It's not like we're trying to cosplay someone else. It sounds like an evolution, which I think is fun to be a part of as a rhythm section.
I love the accidental nature in which Just Two Girls came about too. Ellie, were you literally singing it in a shower or something?
Yeah.
What was that story?
Sometimes like your circumstance just makes writing music difficult. Like you've got an idea, but then you're like, I don't know where, I've got no strings on my guitar, or, you know, like, so you just, I was like, maybe I need to like not be so beholden to my equipment or whatever. And I was like, had a couple of lyrics and top lines like in my voice notes, and I was just like kind of fleshed them out every time I had a shower, because it's kind of the only place that you can really sing loudly and not feel like, sorry guys, like if you just stand in a room with someone and then you like practice singing, you probably look like something is going very wrong in your brain. Like, I don't know. So I was like, okay, the shower is actually one of the few places that you can actually practice your full voice and stuff. So it just became like the place that I wrote that song, which just sounds like I'm lying, but it's true.
You also, you've written about female friendships in the past and their import to you too. And this song again touches on that. Is there a particular friend you were writing about?
I think it was like, there were a couple of particular evenings that I had with not the same person necessarily, but that was a similar feeling to those evenings where I was like feeling very validated by our conversations or by our, you know, the fun that we had. So it's not, I can see those particular evenings, but they're not necessarily with the same person each time. Yeah.
There's so much love in this album. I also love the fact that the three of you and Joff is not here. He's awaiting his baby at any moment. But all four of you have shared so much. You've grown up together. Mm. And, you know, and there are a lot of bands that came up, you know, like in 2010 when Wolf Alice really first started, and then in 2013 when everything really started to gel for you. So many bands haven't made it, like who've sort of fallen by the wayside. You guys have, and I'm wondering what it is about your relationship with each other. I, you know, a little bit of a fly on the wall is watching you all work together today, and you're very self-deprecating, and you are willing to take yourself out of mixes at all opportunities. But I mean, there's just real love and respect, and also perfectionism and craftsmanship in what you're doing. And I just wonder how you've grown up together. I'm looking at all of you, so whoever wants to take that on.
Oh, yeah, maybe we all have different answers. I don't know.
Yeah, Joel.
I don't know. I just love doing it with these. As simple as that. I think maybe you even answered it. I just absolutely love it. There's nothing it's everything I always wanted to do, and I couldn't think of better people to do it with, so I don't want it to stop. Yeah, and I mean, we didn't, like, none of us could really, like, play and stuff when we first started. Like, all those kind of, like, you know, you kind of, because you learn together, you make mistakes together, and you go, it is, like, up and, you know, there's so many things that can go wrong or good or whatever, and you just, you can stick together through that, you just keep going. And you're making music. That's what a privilege, what a joy in today's day and age to be in this studio in New York. We're playing music together, like working things out. It's amazing.
Thea?
Yeah, I agree. I think what you said, like the self-deprecation is probably a little bit too much of an English thing, but the fact that we're willing to, it's for the sake of the song and what's the best for the song is a quite a good exemplification of how no one individual is trying to, it's all about this kind of greater good, which is the band. And I really appreciate being in with a group of people that are willing to take themselves out of anything to make it better. Do you know what I mean? That's quite an interesting dynamic that I don't know if I've come across other than in the band I'm in. But aside from that, I'm with Joel on all the other rubbish he's talking.
And Ellie?
Yeah, I don't know. So yes, that's hard to answer because you don't want to say something and the other person's like, yeah, sure. But I do also think like one of the things that's important to do is like always celebrate your wins, like no matter how small they are. Like we have a really good team around us, and a lot of our family and friends love Wolf Alice as well, or at least I hope they do. But I feel like that, you know, like making it fun rather than just, it's not, you know, because being in a band obviously is, it's ridiculous sometimes, so like you gotta, it's fun. You need to like acknowledge that, and it's not always easy to do that. But I think that's an important thing to acknowledge, that like it's not normal. You do have to like celebrate the fun things and
absolutely
stuff. Yeah,
it's very much a chosen family too. And some of the people on the other side of the window today who are with you is like Johnny, who is your front of house person, and Lori, who is your monitor engineer, and Shingo, who is your guitar tech. And I think we've lost.
Oh, we've
John.
Got Bailey.
And Bailey,
oh,
our
Bailey,
tour manager.
Bailey. Tour manager.
And,
my
tour manager extraordinaire, John Victor.
Whose real name is actually Bambi.
Yeah, Bambi, but we call him Bailey. It's like his nickname.
He's Andy to his friends.
And John Victor has disappeared entirely, but he's with Gengar, and he has like amazingly learned your catalog so that he can do
it. Yeah, he's really very talented.
Well.
Yeah, I think we've played like 38 songs with him at the rehearsal, and he can play them all better than the rest of us.
See, self-deprecation.
No, that's
again,
the truth. That's but yeah,
there's
yeah.
a difference between honesty and self-deprecation.
I am Kara Manning with FUV Live Sessions. I'm here at the Power Station in New York City in Hell's Kitchen. Which seems a very dramatic place to be with you guys. But you're going to do one more song for us today, in which I think you've eliminated most. I think, Ellie, you're still singing it, but I think it's come down to you and John for this particular version of the track. I'm really intrigued by Leaning Against the Wall, because in the studio version of it, the drums that come in, the denouement of that song is just extraordinary. And I am curious in a sort of like goofy way of like, how did the end of the song come about?
Because the
whole track is so interesting because it touches. I hope this is okay to say, but there's something weirdly like a cross between Linda Ronstadt and ABBA, which comes through. But I'm wondering how, like, because the song has this Americana lilt and it kind of builds into something that's really amazing at the end.
Yeah, I really have to check myself sometimes when singing that song that I don't put on an American accent, because it's really tempting to be like, yep, really? I really need to stop. But yeah, I think like country music and a lot of Americana music is such a sense of like, it's quite theatrical, like it's because it's so storytelling based, and there's something quite, I just was interested in how people like Linda and Dolly and stuff like can put such a huge performance into a song that maybe only has a few components, you know, like sit out on a stool with an acoustic guitar and like it feels like you're the theatre or something, you know, like, so, but then injecting a bit of Wolf Alice into that, and it was at a point where we were kind of a bit bored of the like raw organic acoustic-y vibes, and so we wanted a bit of Blue Weekend in it, and and then the drums at the end, like, that was just all kind of like riffing off the end because it needed to go somewhere else, and Yeah, did you just use like one microphone? Or it's also, it's a drum sound we always talk about and never do, and then we did it finally.
Yeah, the outro got extended when we were in the studio, and I mean, it's been one of my favourite things Ellie's ever written since the moment I first heard the demo, and it's one of those ones you're like, we just got to go and do this again, but with Greg. But then it did get extended, and there was the sense of cinema that was maybe, yeah, which was like crossing back to the kind of Blue Weekend sound, like Ellie said, it had that sort of DNA, but it just had to go somewhere else. And I think Greg had like all these mics set up on this kit all the time, but we were using like really minimal amounts of them, and that's maybe just sounds like that because I think he maybe used one and just like turned it up. Wow. It was even like, you know, like your old AirBuds, like he had those on the kick drum, and some was recording sound through like recording back through the headphone, like you as if you were talking to like a Bluetooth, you know, phone call. He's loads of tricks, and
that's incredible.
But like Theo said, he's one of those people, like if you try to explain like that song, it's quite difficult, right? But he's a great listener, and just mentioned like Flaming Lips drums, he's like, yeah, okay, cool, I got you, and then he just did.
Well, the new album is called The Clearing, the fourth album, Mercury Prize nominated album. I feel really privileged to talk to you guys again. It's crazy to me that I spoke to you 10 years ago for the first time.
Gosh, it's concerning to us.
It's been a long time. So we are going to end then with Leaning Against the Wall, in which you have actually removed the drums.
Yes, we exemplified how we've been a band for so long by actually removing ourselves from the performance.
Remove yourselves and just sort of disappear into the sunset. Ellie fortunately remains on the song, as does John Victor, who is on the guitar. This is Wolf Alice with Leaning Against the Wall from the Power Station in New York City. Thank you all so much.
Thank you very
thank
much.
You.
Thank you.
Cheers.
Take us away, John.
It really, really made the room sing the way you said my name, like you could not believe I'd be here, though our friends are all the same. I wanted you to walk on over, but you turned and went the other way. I followed you around the corner, now I'll always picture you this way. Leaning against the wall, you put my world in slow-mo. You put my name up in lights. Because doesn't anybody love you more than I do? Isn't anyone out there? Is love our greatest performance? I thought as you spun me round, perfect displays of affection. Well, it takes two, so there's always a crowd. I dance so you will watch me. That doesn't hurt my pride. I like the thrill of my performance when I abuse the courage of white wine. And you're leaning against the wall. You put my world in slow-mo. You put my name up in lights. Isn't anyone up there?
That was Wolf Alice in performance and conversation at the Power Station in New York City for FUV Live Sessions. A big thank you to Ellie, Joel, and Theo for sitting down with me ahead of their New York City show. Thanks to the Power Station and engineer Matthew Sullivan for recording the music in this episode, and to RCA Records and East City Management for organizing. Megan Suma produced this episode and is the executive producer of our show. Our theme music was composed by John Crick. Be sure to follow FUV Live Sessions wherever you get your podcasts so you can listen to new episodes and find your next favorite artist or band. New episodes drop every Monday. Please rate and review the show if you like what you hear. You can also catch audio and video of FUV Live Sessions at WFUV.org. FUV Live Sessions is a production of WFUV in New York City. I'm your host and producer for this episode, Kara Manning.